Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips. Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted. And tell him
that his loss. Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Remember the film It's a Wonderful Life? Jimmy Stewart was a nice banker who dropped a large amount of cash accidentally in the street. And then depositors came to get their money and he didn't have it. A run on the bank ensued. Did you hear about Silicon Valley Bank this week? And adding to that, Chairman Powell announced that the Fed would quite possibly continue to raise rates. What do these events have in common? I'll give you a hint. Bond.
James Bond.
This isn't Russia. This isn't Russia from love. But what should you do with your bonds right now that it looks like rates could continue to rise and a large bank, in fact, the 16th largest bank in the country, just went into receivership? These are great questions, and of course, we've got you covered as we go through our playbook for this kind of environment today on Protect Your Assets. Good morning. What a week. Welcome. I'm David Hollander, your host. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions, and that's because I am a financial advisor running a financial firm and a licensed attorney. So last week, the head of the Fed, Chairman Powell, was testifying in front of Congress, and he was talking about how it's quite possible they will continue to raise rates. And then we started to see the fallout of these rising rates and what it means for banks, simply because they hadn't raised rates so much in such a long time, and banks are required to keep a certain amount on deposit in certain instruments, which unfortunately, as these rates have risen, have affected the value of those reserves. So what does this mean? How can you earn more interest on your safe money that you thought was safe, but in reality now it may not be there? Rising rates don't mean you have to lose money if you're prepared. Stick with me for the entire show today as we'll walk through our playbook on what you need to do in this new environment, because this could be the start of something bigger. Now, let's get started. So we had a couple big events, obviously, this past week. You had Chairman Powell talking in front of Congress, and then we had a big, large bank, local bank, fail. The Dow Jones was off the week 4.4%. That's right, just in 1 week. The S&P off 4.5%, flat for the year. NASDAQ down 4.7%, still up about 6.4% overall year to date. MSCI, the international index, down slightly, 0.4%. Year-to-date, up 7.4%. So if you have a diversified portfolio and you have exposure to Europe, you've been experiencing a reasonably good year so far. And that's why we advocate that sort of behavior, if you can tolerate that in your portfolio. The 10-year Treasury had a fascinating week. We'll get into that a little bit, but finished the week up a little bit, 0.3%. Overall, again, about flat for the year. Oil down 4%, $76.52 a barrel. And bonds finished the week up 1%. So your bonds are still looking decent. And we'll get into that, of course. So what's happening with the banks? I can't tell you how many people we spoke to yesterday about this. And so I thought this morning I would get into it because bank stocks this past week across the board were hit pretty hard. And that started asking a lot of questions about contagion. And contagion's when that sort of behavior spreads across an entire industry and has pretty dire consequences. You may remember back to 2008, and it seemed like everything was for sale. So this past week, we heard about two banks that were in trouble. First was Silvergate Capital. They announced they were liquidating all their holdings to repay depositors. And then you had Silicon Valley Bank, again, a local bank in Santa Clara, announcing they were selling assets and trying to come up with a capital strategy to stay afloat. Next thing you know, we have the FDIC walking in and taking them over, literally within less than a day. So this was a big turnaround that happened very quickly. Now, as a result of that, virtually all bank stocks, including the large banks, the Chases, the Bank of Americas, Wells Fargo, all started dropping in price on the exchange. And we're talking about the stocks. And so a lot of folks started remembering back to 2008. Remember Lehman Brothers failing, and then it seemed like the domino effect happened thereafter. So I'm going to just start out by saying, look, I appreciate what we're going to call a funding problem with these two banks. And this is not something that's positive. It's not good, okay? But to jump and say that the entire industry has this problem would probably be a mistake. And I'm saying probably, because again, nothing is for certain. But here's why this is different. The continued implosion of the crypto industry in the wake of the FTX collapse will result in stress at some financial institutions. And the problem at Silvergate appears more the result of that client base as opposed to a broader issue affecting the entire industry. Now, you could argue the same thing for Silicon Valley Bank because they had a high percentage of depositors that relied on cash to stay afloat. And when you had the economy this year that was being affected by rising rates, they needed capital. So looking at Silvergate, they provided services to crypto exchanges like FTX, like Coinbase, Kraken. And so as FTX started to implode, customers needed money to not only pay their employees, but just to have operations work. And so this essentially destroyed Silvergate's deposit base. Silicon Valley Bank, most of their clients were venture capitalists. And these folks are focused on tech companies, the kind that burn through money, hoping that they'll have these massive growth opportunities. And if you look at the environment for high growth, low cash flow VC companies over the last 14 months, that environment has not been very positive, as we've been hearing, all the layoffs that have been occurring. So these firms had to draw down reserves, cash reserves, so they had a deposit, to stay afloat. And of course, that's what came to a head with Silicon Valley Bank as they were selling off securities to pay the redemption requests that were coming in. And the securities, unfortunately, were upside down in value. So these were very targeted banks with exposure to stress areas in the economy, and that's the reason they've been hit. And there was really nothing especially new about why those two banks are in trouble. But just because Silvergate and Silicon Valley Bank are somewhat unique cases, it doesn't mean that the entire sector doesn't have other headwinds that they're facing. And this is where I want to get into this. So the cost of deposits has risen substantially, and what we call net interest margins are being compressed. Why is that? Well, you have short-term rates. This is what I keep talking about. You have short-term rates rising at a very extreme rate. We've never seen this before in this amount of time where the Feds raise rates so quickly. And so I had someone say this Thursday night at an event we did, well, what about buying a one-year CD? I can get a 5% CD at the bank down the street. And we started having a conversation about, well, is that a good idea? And then I see the blank stare. So we're going to talk about why that may not be the best idea today. Anyway, that's going on in these other banks. And when you look at longer dated securities, so the 5, the 10, the 20-year treasuries, those rates are lower than the short end. So we have an inversion. That's what I've been talking about, this inverted yield curve. So the business of banking is becoming less profitable. And that's due to the surge in short-term rates and the muted rally that we're seeing in longer-term rates, the inverse. Because that's where banks make their money, is from the spread. So you give them money, you deposit it, they pay you X, they invest it and make Y. Well, if that doesn't work out, and Silicon Valley Bank was a perfect example of that. Didn't work out. The securities that they're supposed to buy to have on reserve didn't work out. And so now they're forced to sell them in an open market where they're worth less to pay people who are redeeming at the window, and they don't have the cash. They lost it in the street. It's gone. Figuratively, literally. So that's a problem. Second, Silicon Valley Bank had to sell their bonds and they had to realize a greater loss than they could afford. So that was, again, just simple math. Normally for banks, it doesn't really matter what the value is of their bond holdings. We call that the mark-to-market value. And the reason that is because they don't have to sell them. They don't have to redeem them. They can wait till they mature and then get that money back as long as, say, the treasury is still around, which in most cases it should be, right? If it's not, we have a bigger problem. So what I want to say is there's really no reason that you should have more than $250,000 at a bank. If you do, you're asking for trouble, because think about what just happened. Whoa. All right. Well, I don't have mail yet. I'm looking for it. But the reality is, do not have more than 250 at a particular institution, because as you just heard, you've got a problem if you do. So that's the message for today. We're going to get into bonds, what this could mean in terms of other banks, what you need to worry about, what you need to be doing right now, because this could be, I hope it's not, but this could be the canary in the coal mine that we all saw back in 2008. So coming up next, what just happened to SVB should be a concern to you, particularly if you have savings accounts. And what do you need to do right now in this environment to make sure that something like that doesn't affect you? You are listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network, and we will be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman, and our goal is to help all of our listeners live a more productive, less stressed life when it comes to your money, taxes, and estate planning needs. And I'll tell you, last week was one of those kind of weeks. We had Chairman Powell testifying in front of Congress, and then Thursday, CEO Greg Becker, Silicon Valley Bank, announced that the bank was selling assets and creating a strategy that would dilute capital in order to stay afloat. Friday morning, the FDIC walked in and took over. You had the entire banking industry, including the large banks, selling off, stock prices dropping. And this brought back reminders of 2008 all over again, where just about everything was selling for a discount. Chair Powell testified that he would continue most likely to raise rates if certain information came out over the next couple weeks. And if you think about it, next week is the middle of the month, March 15th, payrolls. Is your company one of those that had deposits at Silicon Valley Bank? Will you get your paycheck? Why is this unfolding scenario important to understand? And what is FDIC? And how do you get your money back? Well, first of all, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation was created in the wake of the Great Depression, when many banks failed and their customers lost all of their money. And that's why I brought up the Jimmy Stewart movie. You may remember the show that we all watch around Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life, and you see practically what it means when people run the banks, want their money back. Because if you think about it, it's mainly a trust system where you trust the bank to give you the money when you need it. But when everybody wants their money back and you've got them invested in different things, it's not always going to happen, particularly when most of your clientele is asking for their money. So anyways, the FDIC was created as a way to pay depositors back a certain sum of money. And the way it works is if a member bank, a member of FDIC fails, then that money you've put into the bank is insured by FDIC up to $250,000. So you'll get your $250,000 back from FDIC as long as the bank is a member of FDIC. But for everything over the $250,000, there is no guarantee that you'll get that back. The FDIC's money comes from the fees that all the members of FDIC Bank pay to be a member of FDIC. Most banks in the U.S. are FDIC insured these days, including Silicon Valley Bank. So if you had money in Silicon Valley Bank, the FDIC says you will be able to get your money back no later than Monday morning, March 13th, as long as it's under $250,000. Now, any amount over that will get an advanced dividend, and this is, quote, within the next week, which is a portion of how much FDIC estimates it'll be able to recover from these assets, which are down in value, particularly the ones we were hearing about on Thursday. What about for the money above and beyond that? Because maybe you had more on deposit there. Maybe you were paying your payroll out of these deposits. Well, you're going to get a certificate. And that is sort of like an IOU. So first and foremost, if you had more than $250,000 at Silicon Valley Bank, the FDIC wants to hear from you. Call this number, 866-799-0959. Call them and good luck. Now, what should you do if you have more than $250,000 in deposit at any other institution? First of all, I'm going to ask you a question. Why? Why are you doing that? Because if anything, the lesson you just learned is that you shouldn't do that. Now, I'm not saying that other banks are going to fail. I hope they're not going to. In fact, it's highly likely that the majority of the larger ones, given the diversification, the client base that they have, most likely won't. But the signal about all this is that as the Fed continues to raise short-term interest rates, the longer duration investments that the banks hold are not worth as much. The values go down. And if they're forced to sell those to pay you back your money when you ask for it, other banks could run into some problems. So this may not be the end. This may be the beginning of something bigger. And particularly when you hear about some of the companies next week, we'll start hearing about the ones that had deposits on hold. There'll be some very large tech companies. There's going to be some surprises coming. You'll see. There's going to be some upset employees. And what does that mean for the greater economy and for the job market overall? So these are all bigger questions that need to get answered, and they'll get worked out. We know they will. But you have to ask yourself, why do you have more than $250 at the bank? I'll tell you what to do. I have help today. But what's causing the bank crisis right now, and what should you do? Well, first, understand this. The strategies that worked well for these banks over the last few years has changed. In fact, if we look at Silicon Valley Bank's progression through arguably a very cash-rich market as the government was printing capital, putting it out there after COVID. The bank's deposits doubled to $102 billion at the end of 2020. They were at $49 billion in 2018. So they doubled. 1 year later, 2021, almost doubled again, $189 billion. This was because startups that were getting these grants and so forth were depositing these monies into their accounts. And so when the Fed Reserve started raising rates last year, as we started talking about a year ago today, those holdings became less worth because the shorter term bonds, like I was saying, are paying more. And it doesn't matter as long as the banks can hold it to maturity. But at the same time interest rates were rising, the environment for startups was drying up. And this put pressure on the bank's clients, who then had to start withdraw money to make their payrolls. And so to pay those requests, that's why Silicon Valley Bank started selling off their bonds. And as they reported last week, they lost nearly $2 billion when they were forced to sell these. So you need to go on the defense. And you have to say, as rates continue to rise, which Chair Powell said last week, that may be the case, what are you doing with your safe money? You need to look at everything that says fixed income or cash on your various statements. Pull them out. This is on you right now. So hopefully today this means something to you. You'll take what I'm saying seriously and you'll pull them out and look at them. Where is this? What are you doing? And let me help with some basics. First, today is about James Bond.
Bond. James Bond.
Now, 007 has a license to kill, but we're not talking about James Bond today. We're talking about bonds. And as interest rates rise, what happens to bonds? It's right now in the news. It just happened to Silicon Valley Bank. They lost $2 billion. Lost it how? Their bonds lost value. As interest rates rise, bonds lose value. Most bonds pay fixed coupons. So as interest rates rise, the only way that a fixed coupon can equate to a higher interest rate is if the buyer pays less for that particular bond. It's an inverse relationship. It doesn't make much sense. Well, how much less? How do you figure this out? It depends on, among other things being equal, the bond's duration. And what you need to do is multiply the change in interest rates by the bond's duration, and you will have an estimate of the drop in value, the change in price. So interest rates have already gone up substantially since this all started. And you saw last week the 10-year treasury get to an inversion that we haven't seen since, get this, 1981. Got to 103 basis points, meaning the difference between the 2-year and the 10-year was over 1%. That's big. And this happened very quickly. So a bond with a duration of 10 years will lose approximately 5% of its value for every 50 basis point change in interest rates. The longer the maturity of the bond, the more you will lose. And that's why a longer maturity bond is more sensitive to change in interest short-term rates than a shorter maturity bond. Again, this is all else being equal. So as interest rates keep rising, the value of your bonds will keep falling, particularly if they have an average maturity as opposed to one fixed maturity. I'm going to explain that a little bit. You could have a bond fund that has a lot of different bonds in it. That's an average maturity because you may have 10, 100,000 different bonds in that portfolio. You got to look at each individual bond and then average that maturity over the entire portfolio. Whereas if you own one bond, you know exactly when it's going to mature. And if you can sit on it until it comes due, and as long as that issuing organization, could be the U.S. Treasury, is around, you should get your money back. Now, I know this stuff sounds complicated. And I know retirement is full of complicated choices, like when do you claim your Social Security? How do you choose the best pension option for you and your spouse? How do you protect your money so it's there when you need it? How do you keep your taxes low on the interest that you're earning and not pay more than your fair share? These are all very good questions. And you should be asking yourself right now, in wake of this Silicon Valley Bank turmoil, are you exposed? And if you're not sure, then you need to pick up the phone right now. We're going to help you this morning, but you have to help yourself. Call this number now, 866-776-8328. My team is here right now, and we're here to help you. Pick up the phone. There's absolutely no charge to find out some information. 866-776-8328. 866-PROTECT. Now, coming up next on Protect Your Assets, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say rising rates are all that matters when it comes to your bonds. Well, what about your savings account? Is that true? Find out. There's so much more to come. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Take the first step toward reaching your financial goals and get the information that can help you live a confident retirement. That first step is going to pyaevents.com and signing up for our next free event. That's pyaevents.com. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And our goal is to help all of our listeners live a more productive, less stressed out life when it comes to your money. And certainly this past week, with the failure of a very large bank, has everybody wondering, what does this mean? Where are we going and what should we be doing with our safe money that we thought was safe sitting at the banks when it seems like some folks just lost quite a bit of money? Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I know. So here's one they say. They say that rising interest rates are all that matters when it comes to your bonds. Is that true? Well, it is certainly true that it's a big influence. And in fact, if you look at Silicon Valley Bank and you wonder how tech affected that bank and why it failed, was when you look at their clientele. Overall, their clientele was more tech-centric. And they certainly helped different companies get launched, sometimes took back stock in exchange for that, sometimes would have looser standards to loaning money. They focus mainly on an industry that last 14 months has been in big trouble, because as rates rise and cash becomes more expensive, it becomes less profitable to make money on startups. That's simply what happened. And so people have been asking, is this Silicon Valley Bank collapse tied to other sectors in the economy? And so this is the big question. This is what we're trying to answer this morning, which is, do you have anything to worry about if you bank with other banks? So the first thing I'm going to say to you is there is no reason you need to have more than $250,000 at the bank. Because if you're smart like the bank, what do you do with that extra money? Well, you invest it. You buy bonds. And right now, because the Fed has been raising rates so aggressively in such a short period of time, you can do quite well. In fact, we look at the open market, and as of last week, a five-year treasury was paying over 5.3%. Think about that, 5.3% on a one-year U.S. treasury backed by the U.S. government. This was as of last week. So these rates do fluctuate. They fluctuate minute by minute, typically, when the market's open. But the point is, why would you have money on deposit at a bank paying you next to nothing, having it all at risk? And I know the answer. It's because it's convenient. It's because it feels good. It's easy to get to. But you can set up an account. In fact, this is what we do. You can set up an account with us. We work with two very large institutions that do not have this sort of exposure. And they offer us the ability to do what the banks do, which is to buy things like treasuries, where you can take the excess capital, you can buy treasuries, you can get yourself now, in some cases over 5%. And then you can sit on it and own it till it matures. Now you can buy 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 18 months. 2 year. You can build yourself a ladder of times where you may need this particular capital. And if you don't need it when it comes due, well, guess what? You buy again. And as someone pointed out Thursday night as we were talking to them, they said, well, what if I buy 1 year? And I said, well, how old are you? Well, I'm 60. Okay, you could live another 20 years. Yeah, I hope so. Well, what are you going to do in 5 years, in 10 years? Where do you think interest rates will be? I don't know. Do you know? No one knows. But the reality is, I've been doing this for 30 years. I haven't seen rates like this since 1994. It's been a super long time that rates have been very, very low for a very long period of time. And so the question is, when will rates start to go down again? We really don't know, but at some point they probably could. And if your bonds are maturing at that time and now you're shopping for lower rates, you've got a problem. So the first thing you need to do is you need to figure out how much money you need to live on. And you don't need to worry about things like this when other people are in trouble if you've planned and set it up properly. But that begs the question, have you done that? And so if you're sitting there right now and you have over $250,000 in any particular bank, this is your wake-up call. Wake up, right? Wake up. Where is it? That's going to start happening on Monday. And next week, like I said, the 15th is payroll. And there's going to be a lot of surprises. I'm telling you right now, there were a lot of big tech companies who had money at SVB, and they were using it to fund their operations, and that money's gone. So now what? Don't be that person. Don't be in that situation. You don't need to be. You can do this yourself. I know it's difficult. I know it feels good, but you gotta do something. You gotta take action. And right now, if you're earning low interest rates on your capital that's sitting in any bank, it's over $250,000. What this message is don't have more than $250 at a bank. Because if you do, you're asking for trouble. Because FDIC will only cover up to $250,000 on deposit at each institution. That's it. So anything more than that, you really should be being a banker. You should be talking to somebody who understands interest rates, who can show you the inventory that's available. Talk to you about what sort of maturity, what sort of bonds might make sense. You may want to buy tax freeze. We look at municipal bonds all the time. We like them for some people. And you just need to find out what the rates are. But the rates are really good right now. I mean, you can get yourself 5% from pretty good, really good issuer. And this is what many of the insurance companies and banks are doing right now, is they're buying these sort of things and then they're turning around and offering you a rate, you see, but they have to make money. It's called the spread. And that's how they operate, on the spread. And the spread has been compressing. And so all these banks that have longer term bonds that have been sitting on these things, that's the problem. That's the concern. And so hopefully you don't see the Jimmy Stewart situation where everyone's running in and wants their cash. Doubt it's going to happen, but that's what just happened. And that's why you had a failure in a very large institution that for years, since 1984, in Santa Clara. They've been operating and been helping companies do great things. But all of a sudden, they got in the crosshairs, and that was it. And we're seeing this with the crypto industry as well. You saw it with Silverstone, the other bank that funded that whole operation. Trouble. They're in trouble. So first, look at your accounts. Are you earning low rates on this money? And if you are on your savings and you're taking undue risks, then now is the time to look at what's available, because this is a great environment. I haven't seen rates like this in a really long time. And so now is the time to take advantage of that. That works for you. If you're unsure and you just don't know, because this is not what you do, I understand that. You may be one of those types of people. I just don't really understand this stuff. I don't look at it. I don't know anything about it. Well, you can get help right now. Pick up the phone. Call us. 866-776-8328. We're here to help you protect your assets. That's what we do. So call the number. 866-PROTECT. Find out where you're exposed. We have great coffee, free parking, and a friendly staff. And we're right here in the Bay Area, willing to meet with you at your convenience. Call us, 866-PROTECT. Now, when I come back, if you're at or near retirement, you're looking to make more than 10%, I want you to pay attention, because I'm going to be talking about that. Time for a quick break, but when we come back, we will talk about what you can do with that kind of money. It pays you to keep it tuned right here. It's coming up next, so stick around. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com, where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
We're back. I'm David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And today we've been talking about bonds.
Bond. James Bond.
Thus the James Bond theme. And bonds just got a large bank in big trouble because they just did it wrong. We found that the number one key to financial success in retirement is protecting your downside. Do you know that if you had all of your money in bank stocks this past week, you could be down over 50% in your portfolio right now? This is real. This just happened. And so questions are circulating right now about how much should you keep at your bank and is it safe? Why live your life on a roller coaster unless you enjoy that kind of thing? Big swings up and down in your portfolio can cause you to run out of money when you need it most to live on. And I know you don't want to go back to work if you don't have to. So this morning, we're covering what options are out there for you and what's available right now. Now, before the break, we've been talking all this morning about the failure of SVB and how bonds were tied directly to that failure in light of all the redemptions that were occurring. So right now, what could you do? Well, let's say that you are 65 years old. And you want to create an income stream now that will be part of your overall strategy, particularly if you think you may live to be 80, 85, or 90. Well, you want to take a piece or a portion of your money and you want to create an income stream. And right now, if you're 65 years old, we can get you 7.38%. That's as of right now. These rates do change daily, and that's going to be backed by the claims paying ability of this particular company I'm looking at right now. So in other words, you could take some of your money, you could put it into something like this, you could then start pulling out 7.38% a year and live off of that till you die. They will pay you until you die that percentage amount of interest. And that's it. Now, what if you have 5 years to go? You're still going to work. You got 5 years to go. You don't need that money right now. You're working. Well, get this. If you're 60, and you're going to wait till you're 65 to retire, because that's when you'll start collecting your Medicare, we have something right now that's paying 10.45%. You heard me correct. 10.45% a year. And now you start thinking about, well, that's pretty good. And if you want to structure your portfolio in a way where you have money today, you have money 5 years from now, you have money 10 years from now, money 15 years from now, that's the way you build an account. And you have those incomes start to ladder and compound on each other. So you have more money as you get older. And then you'll figure out ways to spend it. But that's up to you. So now what I want you to do is I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. Close your eyes. Picture a day when you don't have to worry about bank failures anymore. Picture a day when you're standing on the deck of a large luxury liner, looking at the crystal blue Mediterranean Ocean. And your daughter thanks you for making this happen. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things you've always wanted to do, and world events just don't matter. It all starts with a conversation. And so this morning, I would like you to pick up the phone and call me right now, 866-PROTECT, 866-776-8328. If you have more than $250,000 sitting at any bank, you heard me. Pick up the phone and call us, 866-776-8328, and take control of your destiny. Don't let destiny take control of you, because hope is not a strategy. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a fantastic show today. Executive producer and network manager Kevin Renfer, and of course all my fabulous producers back there answering the phone and helping out, Raph, Phil, Cam. Thank you, everybody. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.